simply an argument that will take place later. Maybe, if we get to it. We don't even
have some tensions in the studio this morning. But Gator, what you just did is good form. What you just did is good protocol. And how many times has that not happened, right? You're sitting there, you get a drive-by shot, you didn't even know it was coming. Gator just warned the morning show that he's coming for them on the show today.
I did not say that. It's something we may not even get to today because we spent a lot of time on it yesterday, and I believe I even said something to somebody yesterday about it. It was the same thing. So I heard it yesterday going into the afternoon show, and I heard it this morning on the morning show, and I understand where they're coming from. I just disagree with it. That's all. I'm not mad. It's just a simple disagreement about how to negotiate something. But that's okay. We'll get to that coming up a little later. Sorry, I'm a little disheveled here because we had that discussion. I didn't have time to set up my computer before we came on the air here. But how are you, Mark Ryan?
I'm fantastic. Good to be back with you again today, man. A lot of excitement that we didn't expect to be here at this time, right? It looked like a few weeks ago we were entering a summer lull, especially after the World Cup, right? Credit the United States for giving us some excitement before a disappointing end to their World Cup run. And this kind of seemed like it was going to be the lull where the conversation is centering around Scoobles, a topic that has become nauseating to each and every one of us. But lo and behold, you look up, this team has won 8 out of 9 games. This team today, Gator, is exactly where I said they needed to be as of July 31st for me not to sell. They are 3 games back in the loss column of the final playoff berth. They're there. You said it yesterday. Do you have tomorrow's lottery numbers for a fee?
I do not.
Okay, I'd love to see them. Because yesterday you said, Mark, they could be within 3 games tomorrow.
Well,
and here they are.
Technically, it's 3.5. But it's
loss column.
Well, loss column. I got you. But technically, they are 3.5 games back of the final wild card spot. They continue to move up the ladder. And look, there's a lot of teams, right? And a lot of people will talk about, well, there are so many teams to leapfrog, right? When you get into a season, it's not just in baseball.
Irrelevant.
It happens in, maybe not so much in the NBA, but it happens in the NHL. We watch it a lot with the Red Wings, right? Hey, they're only a couple points back of the wild card, but like, oh, then you start looking at games in hand. And yeah, but there's 6 teams and a half to get past.
Irrelevant.
And I've always maintained that it's up to the team to keep their focus and not worry about who they have to pass.
Correct.
You worry about one team, yourselves. The other stuff's going to happen. You can't control what goes on between, you know, the Minnesota Twins taking on the Houston Astros. Don't care, right? I mean, yeah, I care, but I'm not going to sit there and pour over every pitch in that game and sit there and hope really, really hard that they win the game. That doesn't matter. What matters is, can the Tigers keep winning? The other stuff's going to fall into place.
Right. What matters to me is games back, and what matters to me is the historical precedent of what you need to make the playoffs, which has been 86 wins. Now, this year it could be worse than this, but number of games under 500 – when you look at the rest of this league, is not all that important. Number of teams you have to pass is the dumbest thing we do to look at. That's totally irrelevant. Focus on you. Focus on playing winning baseball. The rest of that stuff will all take care of itself.
Yeah, so I mean, as this team sits 93 games into the season, you know, there's still 69 games left in the year. So I'm not scoreboard watching just yet. Now, I may have peaked a little bit. I'm not going to lie, because that's just how I am, how I'm constructed.
Oh, I did last night. Texas won. That ticked me off. Right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe a little bit. I'm looking ahead. But that's just part of my nature. But I am adamant that the team just needs to focus on themselves and keep winning and keep playing great baseball. And that's what they've done. They've won, 8 of the last 9 or 7 out of the last 8, whatever that case is.
8 of the last 9 games have been wins.
They've got 3 sweeps in their last 6 series. Best record in the American League by win percentage since June 1st. They're playing great. There's no question they're playing great. And then it finally happened yesterday. It finally happened with the Tigers. they finally said, enough is enough with Jamai Jones. And I'm not standing and cheering about it because I feel bad for the young man that he wasn't able to put it together.
Yeah.
I appreciate everything he did last year, but clearly it wasn't working this year. I mean, the average was pathetic.
They had a longer rope for him than most would.
They did. And they had an opportunity to really capitalize on a situation they have here. I don't know if Eduardo Valencia is going to be on this team after the All-Star break. I don't know. Maybe they want to go a different direction at that point when they know how much Dylan Dingler has healed, if he's ready to go. I thought the move was smart. Because if you think that Dylan Dingler is going to be back for, let's say, the first game after the All-Star game, then why would you risk losing him for, say, three games, waiting for those 10 days to tick off? May as well keep him on the roster and find another way to get a catcher up, which here it is. Jamai Jones DFA'd because he wasn't even playing at this point, right? Ben Malgeri had become the right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching coming off the bench. That was the one they would go to over the last week and a half because Jamai Jones hasn't gotten it done. And this isn't, you know, to kill Jamai Jones. This is about, I think this is a smart move that the Tigers have made. Because not only do they keep the option open to have Dingler return within 10 days because he's not off the roster, but it gives them another catcher who doesn't necessarily have to catch during this time. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll catch a game this weekend against Philadelphia. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe Dingler's healthy enough where, hey, Jake, you got the next two starts and Dingler's going to catch on Sunday, or Dingler catches Saturday. We'll see. It's a day-to-day situation with him. But what Valencia brings is a bat. He has been a hitter in the minor leagues, has matriculated up the last few years, and he's really matured as a hitter. What he needs to do is mature now as a true catcher who calls a game that the starters enjoy and plays well enough defensively that you can justify him being with this club. This is a great opportunity because it may be just a few games with this opportunity. But if nothing else, if Dingler heals up in a couple days and he's ready to go, at least you've got a competent right-handed hitting bat right now. At least, and I'm not just saying it because he hit a 425-foot home run the first at bat, right? That was fantastic. And then it gets drilled on the next at bat by the pitcher.
Not on purpose. Not on purpose.
Probably not, but nonetheless, he was drilled. Showed a lot of emotion rounding the bases, which was, I mean, you would expect your first bat in the major leagues, you hit it out. You got to get excited about it. I don't know if he's going to be the answer as a right-handed hitter. It's way too early to say that. I'm just saying in the minor leagues, if you've tracked Valencia at all, he has a little bit of a track record of being able to hit the ball and hit the ball hard. And he was leading Toledo in home runs. We discussed it yesterday, not knowing that this was going to be the guy. We both thought Tomas Nido, he's the backup
catcher.
But
we were both hoping for this move.
But we both hoped it was going to be Valencia. We both wanted it to be Valencia because
right.
I just want the bat. You know, I figured if Dingler's got to sit out for a while, let's have Jake be the everyday catcher. I'm just looking for the backup catcher. It doesn't matter. And you know, these guys go up and down. They're on the 40-man roster, so you can have the flexibility to do that. I'm thrilled with how it's worked out. I'm thrilled with how it worked out last night. I mean, that was just, that was something I didn't expect. I was just.
Something out of a movie.
Yeah. Hearing the announcement was great.
It really, really was. And how about Jake Rogers not going down without a fight? Oh, you think this is your new backup catcher? How about this? I'm going to make base. I'm going to reach base for multiple times for the second consecutive game. I'm going to hit another home run out. Jake Rogers not going down without a fight either. You see Jake Rogers' numbers as a backup versus as a starter. When he's starting this year, yeah, granted, very, very small sample size, but it's great to see Jake raking, producing. How many games this year have you seen the Tigers? They don't scratch, and when they don't scratch early, you get to the sixth or seventh inning, you're still staring at a goose egg on the board. Jake Rogers got them off the schneid last night, really got the offense going. Now we're 13 games in. The last 13 games, this team is averaging over 5 runs a game, all without Gleyber Torres right now. And how about this as a little feather in the cap? The Tigers were 16 games under 500 on May 31st. After a 6-22 May, they were 22-38. The greatest number of games any team has ever been under 500 and made the playoffs. The Boston Braves in 2014 were also 16 games under 500. in 2014. How about latest in a season a team was under 500 and won a World Series? Boston Braves under 500 until August 3rd. 2021 Atlanta Braves not above 500 until August 6th. So, you know, all this racing to, hey, we're 7 games under 500. There's a precedent for this. There's a precedent for scuffling around and being kind of below the Mendoza line and winning.
Things have happened. I mean, you know, you can dig deep enough, you'll find something has happened at some point in history, and it doesn't mean it's the norm, and this is not the norm, but we have seen some crazy things happen. The Tigers a couple of years ago had no business getting on a run and making the playoffs, but they did, and they're doing it again this time. Hopefully they make the playoffs. What Cleveland did last year, Cleveland was horrible, and all of a sudden they go on a tear, and it helped coincide with the Tigers going in the tank last year. These things have happened. I mean, remember what, at the end of a season in 2007, maybe? Probably 2007, the Padres made, it was the Padres or the Rockies, I think it was the Padres made it, no, I'm thinking of the Rockies, made a crazy run at the end of the season. Like they won like 22 out of 24 games. Something insane to make that run to get into the postseason. Things happen. Now, the Tigers aren't even on one of these crazy 22-2 runs. They're just playing good baseball again. Now, they're winning 7 out of their last 8 games. That's trending in the right direction, and they're in a really good space since June is turned on the calendar. But, you know, we asked the question, 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Are the Tigers going to do it? Are they going to do it? Do you think this team has playoff DNA in them for this season? I mean, and you're going to have to base that off of, you know, being, are you going to be able to shut down what happened in May and chalk it up to injuries? Or do you think that, okay, that was just a god-awful May, and it didn't need to be god-awful. It could have been bad, and to be a better than 500 team if it was just a bad May. Do you think this team is playing above their heads right now? Or are you thinking this team is just fortunate to take on the teams when they're taking on the teams because they don't have some of their star power? But if you say that, careful, because look what the Tigers are playing without in all of May. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. Tiger in history to hit a home run in his first at bat. Eduardo Valencia.
First to do it since Akil Baddoo. Had high hopes for Akil Baddoo. Then he became Akil Badont. But that was incredible to take in last night. Incredible to witness. Also, the scene after the game. Round of applause, Daniela Bruce, for the job she did. You know, and also, like, Daniela Bruce was getting choked up a little bit as well doing that interview. How could you not? When you factor in, he's been in the minor league since 2018. His parents couldn't be there last night, but his wife was. He's had such a long road, such a difficult time to get to this point. How could the emotions not be bubbling over for him? Did you hear this after the game, Eduardo Valencia speaking to Daniela Bruce?
I mean, it's awesome. And I did watch that.
Incredible.
I didn't quite get choked up. I think it was close. I thought it was awesome. And, you know, it's the one thing, when you see the emotion pour out of a player who, I mean, he's realizing his dream. Who knows how long he's going to be up. But I think he's got a potential to be on this team next year as a roster player. But it's been a long road for him, right? I mean, signed as a young guy out of Venezuela and spending basically parts of 10 years in the minor leagues with the Tigers. They stick with him and it pays off. It was a long road, right? I mean, it's not like he hit the ground running with his minor league career. It took a minute. And last year he had a breakout season playing with two different teams in the minors last year. Had a total of 379 at bats, but hit 24 home runs.
And that's big.
He drove in 95 in 103 games. And his OPS was 941. The previous year, His OPS was 672. Now, he's dealt with injuries in his minor league career as well and truncated seasons because of, you know, playing with split season teams. But last year, he put it together. This year at Toledo, his OPS was up to 839, 16 home runs in 288 at-bats, and led the team, got his chance, has that kind of a speech afterwards. And to me, the part of, like, it started to, when he obviously mentions his family and then he breaks down a little bit, that's great. And knowing that, you know, his wife was there, and then he mentions Venezuela.
Yep.
And it brings it all back to the situation that Venezuela is going through, and what they have gone through specifically over the last year. But then you get to the devastation they had a couple weeks ago and how that's affected a lot of the Venezuelan players, as you would expect. And it just kind of brings it home how important, you know, life is to him and having this opportunity. That was just a really cool moment.
It was incredible. It was incredible. And quite honestly, our city hasn't had a lot of these, right? We when's the last time we had a moment like that that we were able to take in, right? We're on the other end of those kind of moments. We get the Galarraga moment stripped from us. We don't get feel-good moments here. Feel-good moments are stolen. It was beautiful.
I mean, for regular season stuff, I think when the Lions finally broke through and got their first win under Dan Campbell, you know, you saw the unbridled emotion from the players and the team going through that after, you know, it tough transition, totally turning over the roster on this team, trying to get everybody to buy into what you're selling. And it seemed like everybody was, but they just weren't getting the results on the scoreboard. And then finally they broke through and you saw the emotion from the guys there for a regular season game. It was like that. Certainly when they make the playoffs, not only make the playoffs, but they win the division and then they're hosting playoff games. And your first game is against the Rams and Matthew Stafford, the guy you had to play against.
You could not write a script like this.
I mean, being in that stadium for that game and experiencing all the history of what went behind that, it was unbelievable. It was absolutely incredible scene. I mean, that's just with the Lions that kind of stand out to me, but I'm sure people have their own. Is there one that stands out to you?
Well, that one gets me because that was right before I got here. Right. So I missed out on that run. I remember watching it. I remember telling my wife, man, I would love to be there. Can you imagine? Can you take that in? I mean, you had too many storylines heading into that game. Right. And it was just an insane moment, an insane vibe to be a part of that. Look, locally, no. Locally, it's been a really long time for me. The 2024 run by the Tigers when they went 31-11 the rest of the way, that was something, right? I mean, that was 99.8% chance to miss the playoffs. That was the most feel-good moment I've had pitching chaos. You make a run to the playoffs with one starting pitcher. I mean, again, that's the kind of stuff that doesn't even happen in movies. But by and large, this is not a city that has had a lot of these moments. I almost feel like we don't know what to do with a moment like that, but what a beautiful scene it was. And when you start to put together storylines like that, storylines like Melton, storylines like Valencia, Jake Rogers suddenly hitting, the inspirational stories that people can latch on to, that's the breeding ground for a special second half of the season that it does feel like we're on the precipice of.
Yeah, there are certainly moments, and feel free to express yours. I've got one more that really stands out to me. And a little bit more personal than others, for sure. But 248-539-9797. Ed is in Detroit. Ed, you're first up here, 97.1. Hey, Ed.
Hi. I'm not particularly surprised at what the Tigers are doing because, as you recall, when they were horrible in May, they were also a really crippled lineup.
Yeah.
There's so many. At one point, like 9 starters were out, I think.
Yeah, it was a ton of them. I mean, I've said before, they got a total of 5 starts in the 28 games. 5 of them were from Mize, Skubal, or Melton because of injuries. So, I mean, Skubal didn't pitch a single game in May, and then the other 2 guys were limited to just 5 starts between them because they experienced injuries.
Sure. So the fact the team is playing, I mean, 8 out of 9 is not realistic, but the team is playing as well as I expected them to play in April, and then they didn't because they were so injured. Couple of surprises. Nobody could have predicted McGonigal being as good as he was as soon as he was. And I think the other thing that really surprised me is Riley Green has turned into a tough out. Not exactly. It's not exactly tough, but a tougher out than he was before. His batting eye is better, discipline's better, and he's making better contact. So I think that those are some really good things. But again, is that a surprise that an all-star gets better? No, they do that on a regular basis. But I think this team is. I'm not surprised. I think they're going to make it.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Ed. And that's another question we've asked the people: is where do you stand right now? Do you think that this? It's a simple question. Are the Tigers going to do it? Are they going to be a playoff team?
Exactly right. And went to his point. If you look at injury index, number of injuries, severity of injuries, the Tigers had the second most in all of baseball to the Mets. Where are the New York Mets? Where are the Tigers? You know, there was a lot of mudslinging on the Tigers. They're not good, while ignoring who they had out. Now that they're coming back, now that they're rounding into form, Matt Vierling's a guy that's needed to find himself over the course of the season. Hadn't played for significant stretches, right? This team is finding itself at exactly the right time, and they're getting the band back together again in terms of their health. It's amazing to see.
Yeah, and now it shouldn't stop them or prevent them from looking to improve the team before the trade deadline, but all that's going to sort itself out based on where the Tigers are in the standings. If they keep winning like this, they're 100% going to be buyers, as they should. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. The Valencia moment last night, very impressive, very emotional. You know, where did they get you in terms of emotional moments in Detroit sports history over the last 25 years? You know, this millennium, where does it stand with you on that? And a simple question about the Tigers. Do you think they're going to do it? Is this team going to make the playoffs? Or is this just this is just the upswing and going up the roller coaster and then we're ready to crash back down again? Is that what this season is? 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text. We'll get some of those texts as well here on 97.1. I think they can make the playoffs. I don't think they win. If Hinch is going to continue to run Jansen out there as a closer, that was the luckiest garbage save in the history of baseball yesterday. Jansen is done, and if they're not going to come to that realization, they're going to waste more games that they can't afford to waste down the stretch.
Look, I'm getting to the point where I'm over the Jansen experience. I am. Not the John Jansen experience, but the Kenley Jansen. Yeah, but the Kenley Jansen experience. Look, the reality is the last two hits against him had over a 100 exit velocity. Balls hit at over 100 exit velocity have a 66% chance of being a base hit. And then they're acting like he got it done. No, he was getting shelled.
He was hit hard.
He was absolutely getting pounded and not in a good way. And they are so lucky to have won that game. So fortunate to have won that game. At what point do you just say, okay, I know we penciled you into the closer role. I know we're paying you 1 year, $11 million to be the closer. But right now, what this is turning into to me, this could be the number one need on the team, Gator.
Well, they've got a lot of things to sort out. And I think that stuff will be sorted out in August. I think right now you just keep riding it out until you're ready to make moves. And I don't think there's any question that they have to improve the back end of the bullpen. There's no question they have to do that. And I think what's curious to me is to see how they continue to handle the usage of Keydor Montero and what his usage is going to be. I mean, he has flourished in any role they've given him. You want to start? Hey, there goes Keydor, six shutout innings. He gives you a chance to win as a starter. You need him to come out of the bullpen? Hey, here he comes out, shutting things down for two or three innings at a time. You know, is it possible that they're going to use him more in that role as a, you know, coming out of the bullpen as opposed to being a bullpen arm? It's a guy who's coming out of the bullpen, which is how A.J. Hinch kind of worded it last week, talking about him. Because he's been so good, you don't necessarily want to take him out of the rotation, and yet the rotation's working just fine right now.
And how many guys
knocking on wood. But it can change, as we've talked about ad nauseum, is I can still buy and sell if my sell is if I'm selling Tarek Skubal, I've got enough good starting pitching, and Montero can simply come back into his role as a starting pitcher. And then you've got the specter of what is Justin Verlander and what's his role. And look, I get plenty of people have already written him off. He's done. He's going to retire at the end of the season anyway. He doesn't have anything left, and he's still not healthy. It's a hamster. What's going on?
There could be something there.
May or may not be. Maybe he's done, and it is. Or if he's able to, if he finally is healthy and feels good and is ready to contribute to this team, and it, look, it's not him. It's on his body. It's nothing to do with his mindset. It's about his body when his body's ready. If it gets to the point where he is ready, then they have to decide what kind of role is he going to have. And to me, it's probably coming up as a bullpen arm. And if they trade Skubal, it becomes more interesting because then do you give him starts over Montero, keep Montero in the bullpen role? We'll see.
How many different guys, though, struggle unless they're in a consistent, defined role? Will Vest, eighth inning, ERA over 8. Carter Montero, how valuable is he? In my opinion, MVP of the entire pitching staff, can throw him out anywhere. Can throw him out in game 5 of the ALDS against the big dumper, and he can get you out of it. What value that guy is developing for himself?
The starting pitchers have all had tremendous value. I mean, keep in mind, Troy Melton was a guy who came out of the bullpen a lot last year and was great out of the bullpen. And then got stretched out, and you're like, ooh, he's really good as a starter. And now he's a starter. And like, yeah, he's really good as a starter. Brian is in Livonia. You're next up in 97.1. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going today?
All right.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to share my feel-good sports moment. Watching Cabrera on first base for the last time, making his final out. Get a little choked up about it right now.
Yeah, he was,
absolutely amazing.
We were so fortunate to see a guy like that, you know, finish off his career in Detroit. I know it didn't. The last couple of years were kind of rough with him because he had the injuries and, you know, didn't have the full extension with his swing and he had no power whatsoever. But he was still getting base hits and he was still a professional. And you know, I still stop and watch almost every video when they show, you know, the funny side of Cabrera when there's the pop-ups over the first base side and he goes over and eats the popcorn from the kid or gives the guy with the beard the hug and the whole stuff. I mean, I love those videos. I miss Miggy. I wish Miggy would spend more time here in Detroit, part of this franchise, but I get it. You know, he's retired.
A personality like that is largely absent these days, right?
Yeah, you don't see a ton of them anymore. But that guy was special as a personality. So it gets me thinking, as we were talking about the emotional moments that we've had in Detroit sports. For me, probably the biggest one, and it was it culminated a great season, but it was a single play. And it was Kyler Ellsworth in the Rose Bowl on January 1st, 2014 for Michigan State, getting the fourth down stop against Stanford right around midfield that sealed the win, the Rose Bowl victory for Michigan State. And, you know, capped off that amazing season where the team was phenomenal. Just the one loss that year. It was the last year of the BCS. It was right before they went to the college football playoff. And it was unfortunate because had they had a football playoff, Michigan State should have been in there and had a chance to win a national championship that year. They should have anyway, but they got screwed in a game earlier in the year. The only loss they had that year was to Notre Dame at Notre Dame. There were a couple of awful calls that went against Michigan State. They lost that game 17-13.
Oof.
And ended up finishing, what were they, number 4 in the country. I think they finished up after the win against Stanford. But that was an outstanding Michigan State team they had. And it was that single moment. Because Ellsworth, nobody heard of him, right? He wasn't supposed to play. He played because, you know, Max Bulla, we still don't know what the hell happened to get him suspended for the game. Nobody knows for sure. There's lots of different stories, lots of different rumors. He's not talking about it. It's all in his past. But, you know, Mark D'Antonio made the decision. He's not playing. We need somebody else to step up. And when you lose your leader on defense, and this kid stepped up with all the tackles he had in the game and none more important than that last one on fourth down, that was amazing. It was personal to me, not only because I graduated from Michigan State, but because I was at the game. And because all the stuff that we went through to get tickets to the game where we had to, in order to get a ticket, we bought season tickets to Stanford football, put down our deposit, and they guaranteed us seats at the Rose Bowl. So we, all
that's
my friends,
a commitment.
We did that. Yeah.
But you was, you're committed if dot, yeah. dot, dot.
Well, it was, you were going to forfeit your deposit if you canceled, but the deposit was like $150 and you okay. got the tickets for around that anyway. So yeah, a get in price of $300 or whatever it was for Spartan fans for the first Rose Bowl since, you know, 1989 or 88.
What did season tickets cost for you? Student season tickets.
I don't even remember. I do.
I do.
Like $50.
This is going to date me. And if you're ever lonely, I suggest you date yourself. You find your pretty good company. But the reality is, my season tickets were $36 for six games. $6 a game. Student season tickets.
Student tickets is a great bargain. It's a hell of a bargain.
Yeah, but it's not that anymore. I'm revealing my age here.
Yeah, but they're not terribly expensive. If you're a student at Michigan or Michigan State, I don't think they're terribly expensive. And the kids sell their tickets anyway for the big games, and they make up, you know, other costs elsewhere. 248-539-9797, Chuck's in River Rouge. Chuck, welcome to 97.1. Hey, Chuck. Chuck.
Going once, going twice.
I'll put you back on hold, and we'll get to you. More text coming in. I thought the Tigers were the best team in the AL Central before the season, and now I believe they're still the best team in their division. They need to buy and get a real bullpen arm or two and bring in a right-handed bat. Teams that wanted Skubal should have made a grandfather offer before the Tigers went on this win streak. Well, it doesn't mean they still can't make whatever offer they want to make, but I've gotten to the point where I'm like almost 100%, just trade him. And it's nothing against him. He's an amazing player. And of course, the team would be better off in a playoff run if you had Tarek Skubal. But I just think that having this chip, it's like when the Angels had Shohei Ohtani and they let him go at the season's end, you know, and got nothing in return other than
and they knew he
pick.
Was going to leave. And yeah. the tea leaves were out there. Unlike Skubal, Ohtani had offered nothing. Now, I've been president of the Keep Skubal fan club, right? However, you look at how this thing is unfolding. They've never been better positioned to move on from him, right? Melton, Mize, you can prioritize keeping Mize. Montero developing. Olsen, look, it's tough to come back from a labrum. It is. But
they're taking their time with it. They're not rushing that along. They got Jackson Jobe coming back.
How encouraging was the Framber start last night? Jackson Jobe as well. Yeah. I mean, I count six starters that you feel good about potentially in the rotation next year. Five, if you lose Mize, you're obviously saying goodbye to Flaherty as well. You've never had more of a luxury of moving off of Tarek Skubal, but I will insist, Gator, that they add something that can help them now, not 2 years from now. Now,
248-539-9797 is a telephone number, same number to text. You'd like to get involved in the conversation when talking about those emotional moments, like last night for Eduardo Valencia. I mean, just the way that he broke down describing what it meant to get the chance when the Tigers hits the home run in his first career at bat. He was so happy for his family, happy for Venezuela, as you can imagine. What was that moment for you over the last 25 years? Like since 2000, right? We don't need to go the way back machine, just something a little bit more recent. And also, it's a simple question about the Tigers. Are the Tigers going to do it? Do you think this team is going to make the playoffs here as we stand with 69 games to go on July 10th, going into the weekend with the All-Star break starting on Monday? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. Anderson program here on 97.1. Gator with you along with Mark Ryan in for Doug Karsh. Doug's still upset about MJF losing the AEW World Championship
to
Kenny Omega the other night.
Oh, we're still beating him over the head with that, aren't we?
It's the truth. I just want the people to know what happened because he said basically that you'll know how he feels about that match and if he shows up the next time.
Until he comes back, he can't say otherwise.
I get the sense Doug and I are in the same camp when it comes to the wrestling. I do.
I mean, I'm just dumb facts. Yeah.
Well, apparently you are stronger than he is. You're here.
Yeah, I mean, touché. Obviously Doug had an opinion, and it's a strong one. Also strong opinions about the Tigers. Simple question. Do you think that this team is going to make the playoffs right now? Call your shot, yes or no. I think they are a playoff team. I mean, I planted my flag before the season, and what we do on the show is typical when we plant a flag, it means it's planted. We don't take it out because things change. if you can see reason why things changed. For me, it was obvious what happened in May. They just weren't healthy. Now, it went worse than I ever expected.
And it did appear for a while that they were too far back.
Yeah, and it exposed some serious problems with this team that they will still have to address, and it's the bullpen. But what bails them out in June is the starting pitching was tremendous. What bailed them out in June was guys got healthy again. You could see the health come in the form of Kerry Carpenter getting back in the lineup. Gleyber Torres came back for a little bit, and people started discovering their power stroke again, and the team went on this prolific rate of hitting home runs, historical totals for a month in the franchise history in June, and they've continued to put a bunch of runs on the board. They get great starting pitching, but the bullpen is still an issue and will have to be addressed. There's no question about it. And last night, great moment. Eduardo Valencia gets called up. The Tigers, if you missed it, finally DFA'd Jamai Jones. They brought up catcher Eduardo Valencia, not to replace Dylan Dingler. Dylan Dingler is day-to-day. So adding another catcher to the roster at the expense of the last player on your roster, who was no longer being used as a specialist against left-handed pitching because he wasn't getting the job done, it makes sense that Valencia can step in and be that role, be a pinch hitter. Maybe he'll DH some games. Heck, maybe he'll even catch a game until Dylan's ready to go. While Jake, you want to give Jake Rogers a rest here and there. So we'll see how that plays out. But it was a great moment. Hits that home run, his first at bat in his career. And the moment afterwards where he's talking with Daniela Bruce on the TV broadcast. And it was
magical.
Just, yeah, it was emotional and it was great. And we're asking people about that emotional moment you've had here in Detroit sports over the last, since 2000.
And if you're into chasing history, there hasn't been a team the last 100 years in Major League Baseball that has made the playoffs when they were 16 games under 500 at any point. The closest, the 2005 Houston Astros, they were 15 games under 500. All right, 15 games under 500 on May 31st. And they came back and made the playoffs with a record of 89 and 73. But in the last 100 years, you were 16 games under 500. There hasn't been a single team. And in the entire history of Major League Baseball, you would tie the all-time record going back to the Boston Braves, 16 games under 500. On June 8th, 2014, they were 12-28. So again, you have the chance to earn history. You have the chance to make history. And increasingly, it seems like you have every chance to do just that.
Yeah, and if you're going to have a god-awful month, May isn't the worst month to have that god-awful month because you still have plenty of time to make up for it. And right now they're making up for it, which is fantastic. They're chipping away, man. This is 9 games they've chipped away at that. That's not an easy thing to do. 7 games below 500 now. They've got a chance to do some more damage here starting tonight against Philadelphia. Text that came in, as far as the emotion, it gave me the same vibes as when J.D. Martinez came back and hit that home run in his first at-bat back coming back from injury. That goes back to 2016 against the White Sox and Chris Sale on the hill. And late in the game, J.D. Martinez comes up to pinch hit. I was at the game. I was there with my father, my brother, and my nephew. So the four Anderson boys were there and had really great seats in the Tigers' Den seats behind home plate, up, I don't know, 30 rows or whatever. And when Martinez stepped into the on-deck circle, I said to my nephew, I said, this is going to be a pretty big moment here. And explained to him, he's been hurt. He's a great hitter for this team. They desperately need him to come back. This is going to be great. And he hits that majestic shot. Everybody on their feet. It was one of those moments that you remember where you were at. And certainly I do because of spending with my family. But it was an amazing moment. Don't forget Framber and his performance last night. That has to be great. That was great to see as well. Absolutely. 100%. And you mentioned
what a breath of fresh air that was.
Well, and this is what I say about Framber Valdez. His good is great. His bad is bad. And he has way more good starts than he does bad starts. But the bad starts are memorable because they are awful. They can be awful.
I worked in Houston. I was able to connect with some of my colleagues back in Houston when Detroit signed him. And what I heard was so on point. It was like, has elite stuff, but mentally implodes. What have we seen? What have we seen? And it's just, if he can just keep his head on when something happens that ticks him off, he continues to have elite stuff. Now, I would like his fastball to be slightly less hittable. When they can key in on that, they're hitting him. But man, the performance of the other starting pitchers is beginning to be infectious to Framber as well. And he got right in line last night and delivered the kind of performance they're paying him to deliver.
Look, I'm not inside his head. I don't know much about him as a person. I will say, as an observer, to me, if he can mentally shut out the noise that enters your mind space after you've given up a hit or a run, if he can shut that down, he's in great shape. And I'm watching the game last night, and he's no hitter through four innings. And then he starts to get into a little bit of trouble, and I'm thinking, okay, the guy's on first. Don't worry about him. Get the next guy. Right. I'm talking to the TV. I'm like, just focus, man. You got this. Don't worry about all that. You let your teammates help you out. You know, you can have hittable pitches. That's fine. Just hopefully they're not hit hard. Let your team help you out. You don't have to strike everybody out. And yet he had a 9-strikeout performance, which is that the third straight game they've had a starting pitch with 9 strikeouts?
Those K numbers are immense.
I believe so. With Skubal, Melton, and now Valdez have all had 9-strikeout games in the last 3 games. Devel is in Madison Heights. Welcome to 97.1. Hey, Devel.
Hey, Gator and Mark. How's it going?
Good.
Good to talk to you, man.
Hey, same here. Hey, Mark, can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen?
All right. Hey, so, and a special shout out to that caller last time that mentioned about McGill's first base when he left. I forgot about that moment. Yeah. I really did.
Final
I
geared
up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, my emotional moment, I was there 4 years ago, 2004 Piston run, game five of the second round against the New Jersey Nets when Chauncey hit that half quarter to send it to overtime. I was there. Now, and everything from what that game was, I remember how everything lined up. We really should have lost right then and there because they fouled Jason Kidd and they were up by two. New Jersey was up by two with Jason Kidd going to the line. So if he nailed both free throws with 2.1 seconds left and Detroit having no timeouts, the game's over. But he missed the right one. He missed the first one and made the second. So that was able to let him set it up with 2.1. And when he launched it, he's shooting it from my left to the right. And I'm looking, I'm like, well, nothing else. That's going to hit the the rim. And banked it in. You're talking about that place going unglued.
Yeah, wow. That was awesome. That whole run, and thanks for the call, DeVell. Appreciate it. That whole run for that team was special that season. You know, they'd made a change with the head coach. They weren't afraid to give up the good for the great, as I like to say. And Larry Brown got him to the promised land. So did the acquisition of Rasheed Wallace. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1.